If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. So we continue in our series, Armor On, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. And like before, for the context, I'll read verses 13 through 17. Paul writes, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you as we work our way through these different pieces of armor in Ephesians chapter 6, Lord, that you are fitting us. And I pray you just show us this morning how much we need that sword of the Spirit and how much, Lord, we need to be swinging it and knowing what it's all about to defend ourselves against the attacks of the devil and to be able to take the devil out. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last September the 27th in Wichita Falls, Texas, 25-year-old Thomas Kincaid crashed a car running from the cops and then busted through the window of a house owned by 52-year-old Jimmy Morgan and told him he was going to kill him if he didn't give him his car. But big mistake, because even though Jimmy Morgan doesn't own a gun, he's a master medieval armored combat fighter. So when Thomas McCade lunged for him, Jimmy Martin whipped out a sword and cut him in the arm. And Thomas Kincaid freaked out so bad, he busted through the locked front door in that house and ran as fast as he could to the cops who were waiting outside. Folks, that guy was trained in armored combat. And because of that, he put the run on a perp with a sword. Well, the Bible tells us Christians were trained in armored combat too, with the full armor of God. And because of that, we can use a sword to put the run on the biggest perp of all, and that's the devil himself. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us all about it. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series called Armor On, looking how we can put on the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6 and start fighting and winning that war that the devil's declared on us. And today, we look at the last piece of armor we need to take up, and that's the sword of the Spirit. And to see that, we turn this morning to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. Up to this point in Ephesians chapter 6, every single piece of armor has been defensive that we can use to defend ourselves against the attacks of the devil. But our text this morning tells us this last piece is offensive, the sword of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, we not only need to use that sword to take the devil on, we also need to use that sword to take the devil out. Our text this morning, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, tells us three things that we need to do to use that sword to put the run on the devil. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing that we need to do to use that sword, we need to understand what it's all about. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us here in verse 17. Now, the Roman soldiers had two different swords, a long one and a short one. A short one that they used to conquer the entire world. Because when all the other enemy soldiers were rearing back to swing their long sword, the Romans would jump in close and stick them right in the gizzard. Their number one weapon was the sword. And Christians, your number one weapon is not 911 or your AR-15 or your Rottweiler Cujo. Your number one weapon is your sword too. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And why? Because ever since the Garden of Eden, the devil has been waging war on us. And because spiritual warfare calls for spiritual weapons, and because the devil's number one weapon against us is a lie, our number one weapon against the devil is the truth of God's Word. John chapter 17, verse 17, His Word is truth. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, God's Word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And the two edges means we can not only use that sword to cut the sin out of our lives, we can also use it to cut the devil out of our lives too. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. What did Jesus use to put the run on the devil when he tried to tempt him in the wilderness? He used the Word of God. Exactly the same thing that we need to use. Christians, our number one weapon against the devil is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Last October, Oklahoma City. 35-year-old James Allen, who just got out of jail, started banging on the apartment door of 57-year-old Rosalind Davis, telling you needed to use the phone. But when she opened the door, he pulled out a gun, pushed her back inside the apartment, and demanded all of her money. But do you know what Rosalind Davis did? She just started screaming, "Get thee behind me, Satan! Get thee behind me, Satan! Get thee behind me, Satan!" Quoting the Word of God. And no matter what James Allen did, no matter how he tried to threaten her, she just kept yelling, "Get thee behind me, Satan! Get thee behind me, Satan!" Till finally, after 15 minutes, he said, "The heck with this," tossed her his gun, and got out of there as fast as he could. People, what do you know? James chapter 4, verse 7, when you resist the devil with the Word of God, he really will flee from you. Christians, your number one weapon is not your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your GPA, your 401k, your trophy wife, or all your likes and follows on Instagram. Your number one weapon against the devil is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Because what is it that the devil can do to us? People ask me, "Kevin, can the devil kill me?" No. But the devil can tempt somebody to drive drunk to take you out in a head-on collision. The devil can tempt somebody to pull off a drive-by so that you get taken out with a stray bullet. But the devil cannot kill you directly, because if he could, believe you me, you'd have been dead a long time ago. You say, "Kevin, can the devil make me sick?" No, but the devil can tempt you to do things that will make you sick. The devil can tempt you to smoke like a chimney and use your treadmill for a clothes rack and eat deep-fried sticks of butter and bacon-wrapped bacon stuffed with bacon till your arteries slam shut and you get a heart attack. Temptation. Famous pastor Matt Chandler, Mega Village Church, Dallas, Texas, speaks all over the world. Has written all kinds of books, especially on marriage. Him and his wife, Lauren, do conferences all over the planet teaching other Christians how to have godly marriages. Last Sunday, Matt Chandler announced to his church that he was stepping down because he had an inappropriate relationship with another woman. Temptation. The devil can tempt us to sin. He can get us confused. He can cause us to be depressed. He can make you blame yourself for the miscarriage. He can make you start drinking instead of really dealing with the fact that your mom has actually died. I could go on and on and on. Christians, we are not unaware of his schemes. But notice something here. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us all about the armor of God. Notice the sword comes last. Because Christians, there is no way in the world that you and I can take on the devil if we don't have all this other armor on first. Remember the seven sons of Sceva, Acts chapter 19, who tried to cast out demons? And what did the demons say? "Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who the heck are you? You're nobody." And those demons gave those seven sons of Sceva a whooping, because the seven sons of Sceva did not really know God, and they did not know the Word of God. Christians, we got to know our sword. So let me ask you this morning, are we learning how to use our sword by reading the Bible? And are you keeping your sword sharp by going to Bible study and to Sunday school? Americans bought more Bibles the last 2 years during the pandemic than at any other time in the history of this country. But they never read them. The average man, woman, and child in America today owns 3 Bibles apiece and never reads any of them. Part-time Christians can't beat a full-time devil. You say, "Well, Kevin, I go to church on Sunday morning." The devil goes to church on Sunday morning. So what? The devil ain't afraid when you go to church. The devil is only afraid when you take that sword of the Spirit and start cutting him to pieces like Jesus did. And Christians, why is it that we can do that? Last April the 18th, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 2 teenage thugs, all masked up and dressed like ninjas, ran into the Perry Market convenience store thinking they were going to get easy pickings, right at the time when the clerk, Jiwad Hiya, was closing the place down. And those 2 teenage thugs had machetes and they threatened some customers with them and then went to the checkout thinking they were going to get all the money. Surveillance video shows what happened next.
why I use this one when I see him with a sword to make him afraid.
Do you know why that clerk was able to put the run on those thugs and chase them away? Because he had a sword and he knew how to use it. A sword that was a lot bigger than them little Arkansas toothpicks that those two teenagers were carrying. People, that is not a sword. That is a sword. Christians, listen to me. We've got no idea when the devil is going to come our way and try to steal and kill and destroy everything that we have and everything that we love in the whole wide world. But don't ever forget, God has already given you a weapon that you can use to defend yourself against the devil and to chase him away. And that's the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And why does it always work against the devil? Very simple, because your sword is a lot bigger than his. And more than powerful to put the run on the devil every single time you grab a hold of it. The first thing that we need to do in order to use this sword, we need to understand what it's all about. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to use this sword. We not only need to understand what it's all about, we also need to cast out demons. And that's also what Paul is telling us here in verse 17. But notice, cast out demons, not the flesh. So if you're 4 feet tall and you weigh 600 pounds, don't you be standing in no prayer line believing that you've got a Krispy Kreme demon inside of you. Because you don't need deliverance, you need diet and exercise. If you're taking more selfies every single day than Kim Kardashian, you don't have a narcissism demon inside of you. You got a pride problem. The problem is not with the spirit, the problem was with the flesh. You discipline the flesh. You cast out the demons. Does everybody understand that? Now, to cast out demons, you first of all have to understand how they get in your life to start with. And I am not an expert on demon spirits, but I will tell you what I know from 35 years of dealing with them. Demon spirits can get in your life because of anything that you've done to mess around with the occult. Even years ago, any experience with tarot cards, psychics, mediums, phone numbers that you call, Ouija boards, demonic movies, demonic music. Ozzy Osbourne says he is still haunted by demon spirits from his days touring with that band, Black Sabbath. Demon spirits can get in your life every time you let your mind go blank, like when you're drunk or high or wasted. You know what all these mass shooters have in common? Eric Harris, Dylan Klebold, James Holmes, Jared Loughner, Adam Lanza, Nicholas Cruz, Peyton Gendron, Robert Cremo, Salvador Ramos, every single one of them was a huge pothead. Smoke massive amounts of marijuana. You say, well, Kevin, recreational marijuana is a good thing, right? Because the state of Illinois has gotten $200 million worth of tax revenue from it in the last 2 years. Good, right? No, it's wrong. It opens an opportunity for demon spirits to get in your mind. Demon spirits can get in every single time you let yourself be hypnotized. Last May, 16-year-old Brittany Palumbo, Northport, Florida, committed suicide by hanging herself in her bedroom closet 3 days after her high school guidance counselor hypnotized her to supposedly help her with anxiety. And why? Because Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, where do demon spirits like to flock? Where do they like to go to and set up shop? Empty places, especially right up here in our own minds. Demon spirits can get in your life through sex and hooking up with people you don't really know. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 says, you have sex with somebody, you become one with every single thing about that person, good and bad, which means that person can pass demonic influence onto you like cooties. Even porn. Because when your brain is looking at porn, your brain thinks that you are having sex with the people in those pictures. You want to know what happened to me? When I looked at porn for the very first time when I was 13 years old, the devil put this terrifying thought, this terrifying fear in my mind that I was going to go crazy and kill my family. And the devil used that to torment me for 3 solid years. My first 3 years of high school, I walked around in a fog thinking I was going nuts. White knuckling every single night when I lay in bed after all my other family members were falling asleep and the devil whispering in my ear, go ahead and do it and get it over with. Sweating through the bed sheets. until I finally turned it over to the Lord and realized it was a very common condition called unwanted harm, obsessive compulsive disorder. People, listen to me. I know exactly what it's like to be scared to death of stupid thoughts that the devil puts in your head. The best way to cast out demons, don't let them get into your life to start with. But when they do get in, and they will get in, on the evil day, like Paul talks about here in this text, and the devil starts messing with your head, and he starts yanking your chain. You don't run, you don't hide, you don't freak out. You strap it on, and you go to war, and you take your stand, not on what you feel, not on what you see, not on your circumstances, but on what you know. What you know and believe is true from the truth of God's Word. And you take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and you start hacking away at that devil. Because you're not a wimp, you're a warrior. And you're better at swinging a sword than Jack Sparrow on Pirates of the Caribbean. And you cut out all the lies and the bad thoughts the devil puts in here with all the truth and the good thoughts that the Lord puts in here. In the Word. Devil tells you, everybody at school hates you. You're never going to pass biology. Your life is over if you don't have a boyfriend. No! Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11. God knows the plans He has for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. The devil is not a lie, but the devil is a liar. One 16-year-old girl calls you a nerd. And refuses to go out with you. And because of that, the devil tells you you're absolutely worthless. Listen, you know how many teenage girls rejected me and said no to me when I was in high school? And looked at me like I had a third eye? Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 3, you are loved with an everlasting love by the only one who really matters at all. Take that. Not today, devil. And tomorrow ain't looking good for you either. You just retired. And now you know why so many retired guys blow their brains out. Because your job is over and your structure is gone and your life feels absolutely meaningless and you are so depressed that you could scream. Country star Ashley Judd shot herself in the head and committed suicide last April the 30th, one day before she was supposed to be inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame. Because she suffered with severe depression for years and years. And the devil tells you, your depression's never going to go away. You might as well kill yourself too. No! The devil doesn't know what he's in for because Romans chapter 8 verse 6, the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Temptation. Your wife isn't giving you any. And the devil reminds you of that woman at work that's always bringing you cupcakes. And PMing you on the side all the time. No! Psalm chapter 119 verse 11, God's Word. Have you hid in your heart that you might not sin against the Lord? The devil tells you you're not saved because you had an abortion. You cheated on your wife. And he puts all these stupid thoughts in your head. You're really transgender. You were born in the wrong body. You can't function without that vodka. Your son walked away from Christ because you were a horrible mom, even though you weren't a horrible mom. It's your fault that your BFF committed suicide. You've got this obsession in your mind that your parents are going to be killed in a car accident. And it's ruining your life. You have no peace. The devil tells you you can control everything in your life by binging and purging and puking up everything that you eat so you look like a pencil. No! Bring it on, devil. Every day, let's rock and roll because I've got a sword and I know how to use it. You cast out the demons with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Let me ask you this morning, what do you do when those demon spirits get up close and personal? And I'm not talking about demon spirits in your mind. I'm talking about demon spirits in your house and in the people that you love. I'm talking real demon spirits. First of all, you don't be afraid. Because the number one thing the devil wants you to do is be afraid. That's why when you confront demon spirits, you see the lights going on and off. You see furniture moving around. You see doors opening and closing on your own. You hear all kinds of crazy sounds. I've been in demonic houses where there are 25 babies crying. There's no babies there at all. You take your stand and you don't be afraid because if you're afraid, you'll never cast the demons out. And the devil knows that. Second thing you do, you go all over that house, every square inch of that house, and you try to find where the demons are coming in. What is the entry point? Is there anything occult in that place? If there is, you get rid of it. ASAP. And then you take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and you start hacking away at that devil. Over and over again. And I always quote the victory verses. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. Greater are those who are with us than those who are with them. Rebuke the devil and he will flee from you. You do that over and over again. And if it doesn't work, if the devil does go away right away, that means you have to do it again because sometimes it takes more than once. But you keep at it because the word of God is the devil's kryptonite. You keep hacking away at that devil with the word of God. Push comes to shove. No matter what the devil tries to do, no matter how he tries to scare you, no matter how he tries to evade you, demon spirits have got to obey the word of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Christians, you just keep swinging that sword. I've been casting demons out of people and places for 35 years. Years ago, I was in a house in northwest Indiana. One of the freakiest places I have ever been in my entire life. Mom and a dad and three kids, 10 years old and younger. And the crazy thing was, mom and dad were both Christians. But there was so much demonic activity going in that house, they couldn't deal with it all. So they called me. I get there, all hell breaks loose. Yellow orbs floating around inside and outside the house. The TV turning on and off by itself. Pictures shaking on the wall. They had a one-year-old baby boy in the crib, and even though it was unplugged, the Playmobil over the baby's head was spinning like a top. And that baby was glowing. Okay. Furniture moving around, things that looked like bed sheets flying all over the house, really loud pounding noises like somebody was beating on the wall with a sledgehammer. And that 10-year-old boy was going off speaking in all different kinds of languages, and believe you me, it wasn't tongues either. You say, Kevin, I don't believe that. You'd have believed it if you saw it with your own eyes. And you talk about Kevin Garner being so scared, I wanted to run out of that house and scream like a little girl. But see, when you're a Christian and you come in contact with demon spirits, you try to drive them out. So me and those parents went through every square inch of that house. What was the entry point? How were those demons getting in? Was there something occult? We looked through, there was absolutely nothing. But I took my oil anyway. I anointed all the doors, all the windows. I anointed where the internet comes in, where the phone comes in, where the TV comes in, every single entry point. We quoted scripture. We prayed in every room. We swung that sword of the Spirit, and all the chaos stopped. And then I pointed at that 10-year-old boy, and I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Son of the living God, you come out of him. And just like that, that demon spirit came out of that kid, and he started talking and acting normal again. All the chaos was gone. The demons left, case closed, right? Wrong. Because the very next day, the parents called me and told me all the demonic stuff had started in again. So I went back to that house a second time. This is when I was single, didn't have a wife, that didn't have a full-time job. We prayed over everything, quoted scripture again, prayed the promises of God, blessed that little boy again. The day after that, they called me and said the demonic stuff had started in again. For the third time. So I went back again because Mark chapter 9 says sometimes demon spirits only come out by prayer and fasting. But when they called me to come back the fourth time, I realized there had to have been something in that house that we missed. And then we found out what it was. It was a picture of Adolf Hitler that glorified the dark side, that glorified Nazi Germany. And folks, everything about Nazi Germany and the Third Reich was totally demonic. This kid had hidden this picture under his bed. His grandfather had given him. It was a picture that his great-grandfather had brought home from Germany after he was done fighting in World War II. And the funny thing was, when great-grandpa came home, he was healthy as a horse. But when he hung the pat picture on the wall of his house, he started to get horrific nosebleeds and just got sicker and sicker and sicker until he died at the ripe old age of 26. And I can't explain it in a million years. There had to have been something about that picture that was contaminating that whole house, and especially that 10-year-old boy. But when me and his mom and dad told that kid he had to get rid of that picture, this presence came over that kid, and he jumped on us like the Tasmanian devil trying to kick us and punch us. He was growling like an animal. He was spitting at us. And me and those mom and dad, it took all three of us, three grown adults, to hold that little 10-year-old kid to the ground. You talk about demonic superhuman strength. And we cried out to God and we prayed the word of God over him. We swung the sword of the Spirit. We prayed scripture. And eventually that demon came out of that kid. I really am going to write a book when I retire. We took that demonic picture, that picture of Adolf Hitler, we took it outside and we burned it. Once that picture was gone, those demons were gone, and they never came back. Yeah. Christians, I hope it never happens to you. But if you ever get in contact with demon spirits, you do not be afraid. You can be afraid in your mind, but you are not afraid in your spirit. And don't you go hide under the bed, because the devil will find you there. And don't try to turn off the light, because you're the light of the world. You take your sword, and your sword is not Kevin Garner's phone number. Your sword is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And you take that sword of the Spirit and you start hacking away at the devil. And the devil is not going to know what hit him. You keep going at it, because the devil is not going to stop when he gets tired. The devil is only going to stop when he gets wounded. And you are a child of God. And the devil does not have body armor like you have. The devil does not have a breastplate of righteousness, because he's evil. And the devil does not have a helmet of salvation, because he's going to hell. So you take that sword of the Spirit, you keep hacking away, and you go right for his head, you go right for his jugular. And then you cast that demon out. You say, devil, get out of this house. Get out of my house, get out of my life, get out of my marriage, get out of my family, get out of my kids, get out of my kids' lives. You're not afraid of the devil. You make the devil afraid of you. Because 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. The second thing we need to do to use this sword, we need to cast out demons. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to use this sword. We not only need to understand what it's all about, we not only need to cast out demons, but third, we need to cut through the deception. And that's also what Paul is telling us here in verse 17. What did Jesus say? Matthew 24:4 is going to be the number one characteristic of these last days, the number one thing that we've got to beware of: deception. And people, it is everywhere today. Everywhere. Because with the left today, everything is a lie. The Inflation Reduction Act, passed by the left. Congressional Budget Office says it does not reduce inflation even one single penny. It was a lie. The Respect of Marriage Act, passed by the left, actually trashes traditional marriage, because it's only about promoting gay marriage. It was a lie. Merriam-Webster Dictionary has now changed the definition of male and female. So a male is now one having the gender identity that is opposite of a female. And a female is now one having the gender identity that is opposite of a male. Not one single word about actual biological differences or XY chromosomes. Because see, you got to keep the transactivists happy. For eons, economists have used this definition of a recession: 2 months in a row of negative economic growth. Which means, as Americans, we're in a recession right now. So what did the Biden administration do? They just changed the definition of what a recession is to this: several months in a row of negative economic growth. So I guess we're not in a recession. And happy days are here again. It's all smoke and mirrors, folks. Deception. The Marxist destruction of America keeps rolling on. Trashing our Constitution, destroying capitalism, replacing God with government, and painting every single person who doesn't comply as an extremist, who's a threat to our democracy. Last Wednesday night, hater and divider-in-chief Joe Biden said this during a speech in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Now to the U.S., and President Joe Biden today addressed the nation. This speech on the American soul was delivered at Independence Hall in Philadelphia, and it was the most divisive, hate-filled, and fallacious speech. This is the worst speech I think I've ever heard from a US president. Biden's hate speech perfectly matched the dystopian aesthetic. Far from unifying the country, the president is keen to paint half of America as filled with extremists who want to destroy democracy.
To be a nation of hope and unity and optimism, or a nation of fear, division, and of darkness. MAGA Republicans have made their choice. They embrace anger. They thrive on chaos. They live not in the light of truth, but in the shadow of lies.
That dictator took to the stage in a sacred historical place, Independence Hall in Philadelphia, and looked you in the eye and told you that you are the enemy. Because if you voted for Donald Trump, you are a terrorist, you are a Nazi, and you are a fascist. You're an existential threat that needs to be stopped before you destroy the nation. Joe Biden declared war on you. And notice he was flanked by two members of the United States military in a blood red background to send the message, and don't miss it, because it was the whole point of the whole sorry spectacle. Joe Biden has the full force and power of the federal government and the U.S. military behind him to force you to comply or to take you out. And God help us, people. They call us fascists. Who is it that's ignoring the rule of law in the Supreme Court and stealing elections? Who is it that's silencing free speech and using federal agencies against political enemies and former presidents? Who is it that's criminalizing opposition? It's not conservatives. It's the left that's doing that. Folks, this is totalitarianism. This is one-party rule, which is exactly what leftists have always wanted all along. Just like with Antifa, the very people who are calling you fascists are the actual fascists themselves, because they want to enslave you. They're the real existential threat. They're the ones that have to be stopped. Folks, leftists right now are so unhinged, they are taking this nation in a very scary, dangerous place. And I have never been more worried about the United States than I am right now. Because unless God is merciful and we get some new leadership like yesterday, this really is the twilight's last gleaming. Ronald Reagan said this: if fascism ever comes to America, it will come in the name of liberalism. People, it's already here. And it's coming from the left. But Christians, don't be afraid. You keep your eyes focused on Jesus Christ and don't be deceived. We need to cut through the deception and realize that we really are living in the last days. Last week, the FDA approved the 17,000th version of the COVID vaccine, this one for BA4. Without any human testing, without any human trials, no safety data whatsoever. Even though everybody now admits that the first vaccine was worthless and did all kinds of death and destruction to people all over the planet, you know how this latest vaccine was tested? Do you know what it was tested on? 8 mice. 8 mice in a laboratory. And now they're going to unleash it on 8 billion people all over the world. Who wants to be the first one to take the jab? Big study out of the UK last month. Results from all over the world. You know what the number one thing is that determines whether or not people die from COVID? Because it doesn't have anything to do with the vaccine. The number one thing that keeps people dying from COVID all over the world over the last 2.5 years, a sufficient level of vitamin D in their system. Vitamin D3. But the World Health Organization, the CDC, the National Institute of Health, Dr. Anthony Fauci, not one single word about vitamin D ever. Ever. And why? Because it was all vaccine all the time. The book of Revelation says these last days the entire world is getting ready for the coming of the Antichrist. Revelation chapter 13 says the number of the Antichrist, 666, will be popping up all over the place. And it is. Because with coronavirus and the vaccine, that is exactly what we see. That word corona in English, the numerical value of all the letters added up equals what? 66. Six letters plus 66, 666. Do you know what the street address is for Pfizer's virus lab in Wuhan, China? The street address? 666 Gosin Way. Bill Gates' digital ID quantum dot vaccine system that uses little needles to implant trackable nanoparticles under your skin. How many needles on each patch? 18. 6 plus 6 plus 6. What's the patent number for the quantum dot vaccine? 060606. According to The Lancet, COVID-19 was reported to the world for the first time on December 1st, 2019. You know how many days later Joe Biden got the COVID vaccine? That would be 666 days. People, you can't make this stuff up, and I could go on for the rest of the day. Don't tell me we're not living in the last days. We got to cut through the deception and realize that no matter how bad it looks, no matter how scared we may get, no matter what the conditions are, the devil never wins. Last January the 5th, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, an F4 tornado was bearing down on a subdivision. when all of a sudden one person who lived there, a born-again Christian, 34-year-old Jeff Grant, did this.
Here it comes. Watch this. In the name of Jesus, you will not touch my house. I command you to go in the name of Jesus, tornado.
There you go.
Look at it lift. Look at that. That's the power of the spoken word. You see it just
dissipated? It just dissipated completely.
Oh my gosh.
That guy used the word of God. That tornado broke up. The entire funnel cloud passed right over top of that subdivision. Not one bit of damage done whatsoever. Christians, listen to me. I don't care what kind of storm the devil is bringing into your life right now. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that God, through the power of His Word, cannot overcome. You just got to keep swinging that sword. No matter how scary the devil may get. This coming year marks the 50th anniversary of the scariest, most demonic horror movie to ever come out of Hollywood. And that was the movie called The Exorcist. When it was released in 1973, it was so horrific. People were puking and fainting and passing out in the movie theaters. One woman in New York City even had a miscarriage in the movie theater. And that movie caused people to have heart attacks and hallucinations and nightmares months afterwards because the rumor was you'd get possessed by the devil just watching that movie. It was so scary. It was banned in the UK. So scary, The Exorcist makes Friday the 13th look like an episode of Dora the Explorer. And all kinds of freaky things happened when that movie was being made. Four people working on the movie sets died during the filming. Entire sets would collapse for unknown reasons. Then a fire burned down the entire film stage, except for what was Linda Blair's bedroom in the movie. A man who played a nurse in the movie killed a newspaper reporter and told police he had no idea what came over him or what really made him do it. I could go on and on and on. And that just added to the demonic mojo of that film. Folks, that film has been scaring the daylights out of people for 50 years now. Horrible, horrible, scary movie. Well, the book in the movie called The Exorcist was written by a really bad Catholic named Peter Blatty, who claimed he got the idea back in 1968 during a seance with a psychic when he claimed he contacted the spirit of his dead father during a 25-hour session with an Ouija board. Tells you everything you need to know about that movie. And in case you don't know what The Exorcist is about, it's about a 12-year-old girl named Reagan McNeil, played by actress Linda Blair, who supposedly gets possessed by the devil. And then gets delivered, I guess, when the devil goes out of the girl and into the Catholic priest, and the Catholic priest jumps out a window and commits suicide. But the problem is, it gives people the impression that the devil beat the Lord and the devil somehow won. And folks, you talk about glorifying the dark side because that is an absolute lie straight from the pits of hell. Now, what most people don't know, the movie The Exorcist is based on the true story of a 13-year-old boy in 1949 named Ronald Hunkeler, who grew up with German Lutheran parents near Georgetown, Maryland. But he had an aunt who was into witchcraft. And for his 13th birthday, she bought him an Ouija board and taught him how to use it. And when she died, he started growling like a bear. And his bed started shaking at night, furniture moving around the room, scratching sounds in the walls. People, stay away from the Ouija boards. So his parents took him to doctors at Georgetown University, but they told him there wasn't a thing wrong with it. So they took him to their Lutheran pastor, but he told him there was no such thing as demon spirits. And Ronald was just trying to get attention. So finally, they took him to a Catholic priest named Father Albert Hughes, who lived close by, and he told him their son was possessed by a demon spirit. Then all of a sudden, scratches appeared on the boy's stomach that spelled out the name Lewis. So his parents took him to a relative's house in St. Louis, Missouri, and for the next 14 weeks, 9 Jesuit priests did an exorcism with the Word of God in the name of Jesus Christ. And one of those priests kept a diary of everything that happened, and that diary is what Peter Blatty used to write the book in the movie, The Exorcist. And folks, you talk about hell on earth, because according to that diary, during that exorcism, Ronald Hunkeler thrashed about so bad, he tore up entire bed mattresses. And one day, the picture of the devil's face appeared right here on his thigh. And one day, when the priest tried to give him communion, he got out of bed and he actually walked on the ceiling. And more scratches appeared on that boy's stomach that spelled out even more demonic messages like go to hell and Satan is here. But in spite of how scary it was, those Jesuit priests just kept up that exorcism, kept praying over him, kept recroting the Word of God over him, until finally, after 3.5 months, one day, Ronald Hunkler just screamed out, I am Jesus Christ and I command you to come out of him. After one long last spasm of his body, he cried out again, he is gone. The demon spirit was gone and never came back. And Ronald Hunkler went on to get out of school. He graduated from college. He got married. He had children and even became one of the scientists at NASA who invented the heat-resistant panels that were used in the space shuttle program. But even better than that, Ronald Hunkler became a born-again Christian and a lay pastor and an evangelist. So before he died just 2 years ago in 2020, he'd led hundreds and hundreds of people to saving faith in Jesus Christ. So people, the devil is a liar, because the real story of the exorcist is not that the devil is a winner. The real story of the exorcist is that the devil is a loser. Christians, listen to me. I don't care what the devil is doing in your life right now. I don't care how he is attacking. I don't care how bad the attack is. I don't care how freaky it feels. I don't care how scary it seems. The devil is not only a liar, the devil is a loser. So when you take your stand and you take the sword of the Spirit and you start hacking away at him by the power of the Holy Spirit working through that word, the Lord will crush Satan under your feet. And Mark chapter 16, verse 17, in the name of Jesus Christ, you will drive the demon spirits out. And you know what, folks? That's exactly what we're going to do here today. Nothing freaky, but there are things in our lives right now that need to go away, that the devil has put there. They are not going to go away unless you tell them to go away and make them go away. So everybody in this room right now, would you stand up right where you're at? And if you've got a word, if you've got your sword with you, could you put that sword in your hand? If you don't have a sword, you can borrow one. There's some in the pew right in front of you, most of you. Grab onto a Bible if you can. We're standing on the promises of God's Word. I do not sense that there is one person in this room this morning who's possessed by the devil, and my radar is pretty good. But there is not one person in this room right now who is not being harassed by the devil in more ways than you can imagine. So right now, I'd like you to close your eyes. I'd like you to lay hands on yourself. I want you to put a hand right here on your chest. And you can't see it, but I got a hand on my chest too, because the devil is harassing me 6 ways from Sunday right now. We are going to pray today by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Word of God, and in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, that all this demonic harassment be cast out of our lives, so we will leave this church today totally set free. If you're here today and you don't think you're being harassed by the devil, then you stand and pray anywhere for the people around you, the people next to you, the people in front of you, the people behind you. There's a 4-step process that you need to be free of demonic harassment. Number one, you repent. So right now, we're going to take a moment and we're going to repent of anything that might have brought demon spirits into our lives. Anything. Maybe even from years ago, the time you played with an Ouija board, the time that you looked at horoscopes. Maybe it was sexual relationships that weren't right. Maybe it was pornography in the past that got in. The drink and the party and the times when you left your mind blank. Maybe when you smoked weed. We repent of those things right now. Do it right now in the quietness of your own heart. And right now we take a second to repent of all the sins in our lives right now, because we cannot move forward. We cannot be set free if we're not covered with the blood of Jesus. Do that right now, just for a moment. Quietness of your own heart. First we repent. Second we renounce. Now we renounce. We broadcast to the entire spirit world, to the Lord and to the devil himself, that we renounce all of those things that we just got rid of. All of those things that we just repented of. We are new creations in Christ. Those things are not coming back into our lives. We are not doing those things again. We renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways. Step number 3. We repent. We renounce. Step number 3, we rebuke. We rebuke all the things that the devil is trying to do in your life right now. The fear and the worry and the anxiety. And the depression, and the addiction, and the bad habits, and the porn, and the drinking, and the pop, and all the fear that the devil puts in. And the anger, and the bitterness, and the lack of forgiveness, the trauma that you've suffered from abuse years and years ago. Things that the devil has to keep you bound. And all the night sweats, and the heart palpitations, and the panic attacks over the years. We rebuke all those things in the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of His shed blood. Listen, you don't negotiate with the devil. You don't tell him, devil, please leave me alone. You tell the devil to leave you alone. Because you've got a calling from God to do it. You've got the authority to do it. And you've got the weapon to do it. And that's the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And right now, devil, we cast you out of this church. We cast you out of these people in the name of Jesus Christ. These people do not belong to you. They belong to the Lord. They are not your servants. They are the Lord's servants. They are holy ground, and you are trespassing right now on holy ground. You do not belong here. You are not welcome here. We cast you out in the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of His Word that you will leave these people alone. Rebuke the devil and he will flee from you. They overcame him by the power of the Word, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of His testimony. Greater are those who are with us than those who are with them. There's people standing right now in this church. You have suffered way too long from this. It's over. It ends today. Enough is enough. Enough of the fear. Enough of the crazy thoughts. It's over. In the name of Jesus Christ, be cast out. There's people being set free in this room right now. And if you have the sensation that you need to sneeze, that you need to cough, you're getting a little dizzy, that's the bad stuff coming out. In the name of Jesus Christ, be gone. The harassment, be gone in the name of Jesus. Have the band come up. We repent, we renounce, we rebuke, and now we receive. That peace of God that passes all understanding. We're standing in the presence of the Lord right now, totally free and totally clear. To fill up that spot so it's not an empty space, we just simply thank the Lord in the quietness of our heart for what He has done. Setting us free. And we give thanks and praise today, the Lord Jesus Christ, because His name is powerful. It's by His power. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit and Him working in us that sets us free from all of that stuff today. This service is over. You need more prayer. You feel like there's something that's still there, that still hasn't come out, that you haven't been set free from. You come to the front of this church and we will pray over you. Don't leave this church today with the bad stuff that you brought into this room. His name is power.
You're the only right among the wrong. You're the only hope among the chaos. You are the voice that calls me on, louder than every lie, my sword in every fight. The truth will chase away the night. Your name is power for the darkness, freedom for the captives, mercy for the broken and the hopeless. Your name is faithful in the battle, glory in the struggle. Mighty, won't let us down or fail us. Your name is power. Your name is power. I know it is written, hope is certain, yeah. I know that the word will never fail, never fail me. I know that in every situation, yes, I know you speak the power to prevail. Louder than every lie, my sword in every fight, the truth will chase away the night. And your name is power over darkness, freedom for the captives, mercy for the broken and the hopeless. Your name is faithful in the battle, glory in the struggle. Mighty, won't let us down or fail us. Your name is power. Your name is power. When you speak, you scatter the darkness. Light arises, heaven opens. Holy Spirit, let us hear it. When you speak, the church awakens. We believe that change is coming. Holy Spirit, let us see it. When you speak, you scatter darkness. Light arrives and heaven opens. Holy Spirit, let us hear it. When you speak, the church awakens. We believe the change is coming. Holy Spirit, let us see it. Your name is power over darkness, freedom for the captives, mercy for the broken and the hopeless. Your name is faithful in the battle, glory in the struggle. Mighty, you won't let us down or fail us. Your name is power. Your name is power. Your name.